This week is Parashat Shmini. And Parashat Shmini, which will probably be overlooked in a lot of contexts this year because of being Parashat HaChodesh and getting ready for Pesach, etc., has as its central narrative one of the two narratives that exist in Sefer Vayikra, which is the death of Nadav and Avihu and the aftermath. And we think that that story is, of course, all about Nadav and Avihu. And there's a critical line in it, which most people read as being about Nadav and Avihu, and we'll see it, but we're going to re-examine that line. Here is the story. We're not going to go through the whole piece, but I wanted to give you some visual context of the story. The story starts in towards the end of Perek Tet. The truth is, Perek Tet is also part of this story because it's the command of the special korbanot to be brought on Yom HaShmini, which is, according to most Rishonim, the first of Nisan. According to Ibn Ezra and Rabbi Kiva, actually, is the eighth of Nisan. But in any case, it's the eighth day of the Miluim, meaning after the seventh day of the 7 days of Miluim, this is the first day of the new Mishkan in actual action. And that's the glory of Yom HaShmini. And so we see in Pasuk Chav Dalad, Vateitze Esh B'lifnei Adonai V'tochal Al Mizbeach HaTa'olah V'tachalavim. So fire came out from God, and it devoured all of the korbanot that were on the Mizbeach, meaning the full olam, the chalavim from the chatat, vayar kolam, vayaronu, vayatlu al pneihem. And everybody screamed or whatever, exulted, whatever it is, and it fell on their faces. Vayikhu v'nei Aaron nadav avihu ish machtato, vayinu v'en eich v'asimu olak toret. So they each take their own censer, and they put in fire, and they put in toret. They bring it in front of Hashem, a foreign fire. Asher lo tzivaotam. What makes it foreign? That Hashem didn't command it, right? And again, what is it Nadav and Avihu did wrong? We're not going to get clarity, but I think we will get clarity on what it, one of the possibilities raised, that it's not. The fire came out from Hashem, and it devoured them. They died right there in the presence of God. Now, what many Rishonim understand is that Vateitze Esh in Chav Dalad and Vateitze Esh in Pasuk Bet are the same event. In other words, fire came out from Hashem and it devoured the things that were on top of the Mizbeach, which is out in the courtyard. And it also devoured Nadav and Avihu, killed them. Likely it's the same.
How do we know that's true?
What?
How do we know that's true?
Well, I'm saying, why do they try to make that claim? Because they say that Vateitze Esh is one particular event, and it's the same Esh that was Min HaShamayim, that was the first Esh to dedicate the Mizbeach, was also the same Esh to kill them. In other words, the way that they're reading it is, and this will be vital for what we're saying, the way they're reading it is not that Nadav and Avihu were singled out for punishment, but rather, to put it in an awkward way, they got in the way of the Esh. In other words, the Esh came out from Hashem and went to the Mizbeach and burned up the things on the Mizbeach, and they're standing between the source of the Esh and the Mizbeach, and so the fire also got them. And they shouldn't have been there. They should have been, I mean, they shouldn't have been there with their own fire. They should have been standing there waiting to receive this fire and have it eat up the, you know, burn up the Torah. So now, Vayomo Sheol Haron, as you can see, this is the line I want to focus on today. Hu Asher Diber Adonai Lemor. So Moshe turns to Aaron and says the following. You got to stop and think. Aaron has just witnessed the death, the immolation of his two sons. Now, I say his two sons, even though he's got four sons. But if you look at Pasuk Aleph, it doesn't say Vayikhu mi b'nei Aharon Nadav Avihu. It says b'nei Aharon. It's clear throughout the narrative that Aharon always has two sons. Yes, he's got four biological children, but Aharon v'nav is always two sons, because at Matan Torah only Nadav and Avihu go up to Har Sinai. Elazar and Tamar aren't even mentioned. And at this point, Nadav and Avihu are the two guys inside. When they die, Elazar and Tamar step into their place. Now, that's something I dealt with elsewhere, and I published on it about why there's always two sons with Aaron, and if anybody's interested, let me know. But here, we now, Moshe is looking talking to Aaron, and Aaron has just seen his two sons killed, And now we have to judge, are these words words of truth or of heartfelt compassion? You'll see, you know what I mean? In other words, is Moshe expressing an essential theological reality or a dictatorial reality or words of comfort? Well, let's see. That depends how we understand them. Hu asher diber Adonai lemor bikrovai ekadesh. Literal translation. That is what Hashem said, which was, I will be sanctified through those who are close to me. And I will be honored in front of everybody. And the response is Vayidom Aharon. Now, the rest of this piece, I'm not going to read through, I'm going to summarize it, is Moshe then summons his nephews, his cousins once removed, who are actually his cousins, who are Levi'im, and he tells them to come and take Nadav and Avihu's bodies or whatever remains of them out of to the Machaneh, meaning get them out of the precincts of the Mishkan. And they do that, and then Moshe turns to Aharon and Elazar and Itamar in Pasuk Vav and says, do not practice practices of mourning. Don't tear your clothes. Don't let your hair grow out, right? And do not die, implying that if you do these things, you will die, which is kind of strange. And then Hashem will be angry at everybody, but rather let everybody else mourn this burning that Hashem did. And you guys stay in here, and they do follow what Moshe says. That's the end of the first part here. So to sum up, in the first part, the fire comes out from Hashem. Nadav and Avihu bring their own fire, and they get nailed by the fire of Hashem because they're standing between the source of that fire and the Mizbeach, where it goes to. And Moshe says this line to Aaron that we have to investigate what it means. And Moshe then turns to two members of the family, and tells them to take the bodies out, and then just instructs Aharon and his two sons, who are now the two Kohanim, to not practice any practices of mourning, to remain on course, stay in the Mishkan, and let everybody else mourn the death of Nadav and Avihu. This is then followed by the curious insertion, and you see it, I put it as an insertion. It is a separate parashat Mesorah, and that is the parashat of Shtuyei Yayin, which is a command given for the only time in Tanakh, uniquely to Aharon. There's no other pasuk like that. And it is, Yayin v'shechar al teish tatav v'necha itach v'achem alo amoed v'lo tamutu. So do not drink any wine. When you come in, you or your sons come into the amoed, do not die. In other words, if you come in, you're chayav mitah. If you come in drunk, you're chayav mitah. Chukat olam ledorotechem. It's not just for today, it's forever. Ula havdil ben hakodesh uben hachol uben hatameh uben hatahor. Ularot ben Yisrael kol hachokim ha-shedivar Adonai lehem b'yad Moshe. So the one key pasuk here, which is about shtuyei yayin, is tet. And then added on to that is that this halacha applies also to your ability to distinguish between Kodesh and Chol and to properly instruct Bnei Yisrael, which is why we get the halacha that Shata Revit Yain Al Yoreh. You're not allowed to Paskin Ashayla if you've had a Revit Yain based on this. And then the second half of this whole story is Moshe telling Aharon, Elazar, and Itamar that they should continue with all of their procedural steps that they were to take on this day with the korbanot of the day. And the one piece that gets in the way is that Aharon has the chatat burned up. Remember, chatat is eaten. A regular chatat is eaten by the Kohanim besides the parts that are burned on the Mizbeach. Aharon instead has it burned up. And Moshe gets angry at him. And Aharon then turns around and says what he does, which is, if something like that were to happen to me, meaning I would have a child die today, my child is buried, which makes me an onen d'oraita, could I eat from it? And Moshe agrees, and that's the end of that story. And that's the end of the parak, and the whole next parak starts with Tumah V'Tahara and Shkatzim, etc., and Beimat Torah, etc. Whole new chapter, literally and literarily. Question is this line. Now, we have to see the whole picture to get what this line's about. What does Moshe mean when he says to Aharon, Is he comforting him? Or is there something else going on? So the way that this line is read by the Sifri, by the Sifra, right here, and Rashi picks up on it, source 6 and 7. Meaning, this is something Hashem had told Moshe, Bikorai Kadesh, V'lo yida'o ad sheba maaseh le'av. He didn't understand what Hashem meant, meaning Hashem already told him. Moshe is now quoting something legit that Hashem had told him. He's quoting it to Aaron. He said, oh, this is what Hashem had said, and I didn't understand it until now it became practical. Sh'nemar v'no atisham v'nei Yisrael v'nikdash b'chvodi. Meaning, the Mishkan is going to be built, and I'm going to meet with B'nai Israel, and it will become sanctified through my honor. Meaning, Kevan Sheba Masel Yadav, once Nadav and Abihu were killed, Amar Moshe Li Aaron, Aaron Achi, Lo Meitu Banecha El Al-Kudashat Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, they died simply for Kiddush Hashem. Rashi is going to expand on this a little bit. They died for Kiddush Hashem, Kevan Sheyada Aaron Shebanav Kodesh HaMakom Hein. What does that mean, Kodesh HaMakom? Shatak. Meaning Aaron was wailing, Aaron was crying. Understood, his kids just killed in front of him. But when Moshe said, your sons died al Kiddush Hashem, then Aaron was mollified. And in the read of the Sifra, this is something Moshe legitimately heard. He's not making it up to comfort Aaron. And he's saying it because now I understand what Hashem meant. Look how Rashi says it. He expands on the Sifra in an interesting way. He says, Ichan diber v'nomati Hashem v'nikash b'chvodi, same quote, Al tikre b'chvodi ela b'chvodai. Meaning, not b'chvodi, it will be sanctified through my honor, but rather through those who honor me. Amar lo Moshe li Aharon. This is Rashi's expansion. Aharon achi. Yodea hayiti shitkadesh habayit b'miyuda'av shamakom. I knew that this place would become sanctified through those who know Hashem. Vayiti savur obi obach. I thought it would be me or maybe you. Meaning, the holiest person around somehow has to die to make this place sanctified. I thought it would be me or you. Achshav ro'e ani shem doli mimenu mimcha. And now Moshe says to Aaron, I now see that your sons were greater than both you and I. That Nadav and Avihu were of a greater spiritual stature, or whatever you want to call it, than Moshe and Aharon, and therefore they were the ones whose death sanctified the place. Now, if we look back at Moshe's words, and I ask the question again, are Moshe's words a legitimate transmission of words that he heard from Hashem? Is Moshe giving his own commentary to it? Or is Moshe comforting Aaron with words that don't necessarily reflect what Hashem said? In the Sifra, it's both one and two. Moshe is quoting what Hashem said, and Moshe is now interpreting it. But in the way Rashi reads it, it's based on the Midrash, it now becomes words of comfort. It's hard to believe that Moshe really says, you know what, Nadav and Abihu are of a greater stature than you and I. It's very difficult to believe. But maybe Moshe is saying it as a way of comforting Aaron and saying, the ones who were killed to be Mekadesh, the place, and that must make them the holiest people in the camp, and therefore they died. And that's the way that many Rishonim read it, with this or that nuance about Bikorvai Kadesh, meaning I'm sanctified through those who are close to me. And by the way, that means Bikorvai Kadesh is about something that has just happened in the past, meaning Hashem said this would happen, and now I've seen it happen, and Korvai is Nadav and Avihu. And a Kadesh is the dedication of the Mishkan. It's dedicated through their death. But that's, again, the way the most Rishonim read it. And here's the Pasuk Pasuk in source number two, is the Pasuk that they're referencing. However, not everybody's on the same page. If you take a look here at the Rashbam, and this is, remember, the school of Rashi. We're looking at the Rashbam of the Bechor Shor today. The Rashbam says the following. Ver Moshe al Aharon. Al titabel. The al tivke. The al techdal min ha'avodah. that Moshe is saying to Aaron, don't mourn, don't weep, and don't avoid, don't stop doing the avodah you're supposed to do. Ki hadavar hazeh asher ani omer lecha, hu asher diber Hashem mikrovai kadesh. What I'm going to tell you is when Hashem said mikrovai kadesh, meaning the kohanim gedolim, who are krovai, kohanim gedolim, hakrovim elai l'sharteini, who are close to me, that's bikrovai, who serve me, ani rotze litkadesh, I want to be sanctified through them. V'lo shi'id chalel shmi v'avodati, I do not want my name nor my avodah to be defiled. What does that mean? Shekein amar lo hakadosh, amar li hakadosh baruch hu, and now he's giving a whole different thing about who Asher Dibar Hashem. Hashem told me, HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav, Asher Yitzhak HaRosho Shem HaMishchad, Rosho Lo Yifrom, Gadav Lo Yifrom, Kash Lo Yitzhav, L'chol Mikdash Elohav. What's he referring to? He's referring to this pasuk over here, number 4. In the beginning of Parshat Emor, the first series of commands are for Kohen Hedyot, about not becoming Taman, who they can't marry. And the next set is about Kohen Gadol. HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav, Asher Yitzhak HaRosho Shem HaMishchad, Milei Teodol Boshet Abgadim, Et Rosho Lo Yifrav, Gadav Lo Yifrom. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to let his hair grow out and to tear his clothes, meaning signs of mourning. V'alkol Nafshot Meit Lo Yavo, he may not have contact with any dead, including his own family. U'min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei, he does not leave the Mikdash, meaning for purposes of a funeral. V'lo Yichalel Mikdash Elav, because if he did that, he would be defiling the Mikdash. And so now look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, that's what Moshe means when he says, Hu Asher Diber Hashem. Hashem said, I will be sanctified through those who are closest to me, doesn't refer to Nadav and Avihu, it refers to you and your two remaining sons. Because I'm going to be sanctified through those who are the Kohanim HaGdolim, who in spite of the fact that a family member has died, still maintain the Avodah and don't practice mourning. V'ein muktam muchar b'taras. The Rashbam says the fact that that's later in Vayikra this year, like, who cares? U'lechach al taniach avodah. So you do not put the Avodah away. Don't ignore the Avodah. She'ata kohen gadol. V'lo tetzei v'lo techalel. Don't go out. Don't mourn, because then you'd be defiling it. In other words, Hashem's name will be sanctified through you continuing your avodah. Now look at the parsha again. You're going to see it in a new light. The sons die. Vayomer Moshe al Aharon, pasuk gimel. Hu asher diber Adonai lemor. This is what Hashem said. Bikrovaya kadesh, meaning I will be sanctified through those who are close to me, which means you and your two remaining sons. In other words, this is not a description of what happened, and Krovai is Nadav and Avihu, and I became sanctified because they died, but rather, I will be sanctified through your continued Avodah. Now, what does Aharon do? Vayidom Aharon. Aharon is crying. Aharon stops crying. Aharon doesn't stop crying because he's comforted. Aharon stops crying because he gets his emotions unbelievably under control in this moment, heroically, we'll say, under control in this moment, and continues with the path he's supposed to take in spite of the tragedy that happened. The Bechor Shor says it perhaps even more clearly, because he also brings out another point about Elazar and Itamar. Hu asher diber Adonai lemor, source 9. Uperush asher diber v'parshat kohen gadol, v'amor ala kohanim shkatuv v'sham b'kohen gadol. Same thing as the Rashbam. Kol nafshot meit lo yavo. So he says, Hu asher diber Hashem is not about the sanctification of the Mikdash. It's about the role of the kohen gadol and his steadfast commitment to the Avodah in spite of personal tragedy. Hashem becomes sanctified and honored through the Kohanim Dolim who are Krovai. Now, one thing the Rashbam didn't address, which is Kohanim Dolim, there is no such thing as Kohanim Dolim, it's Kohen Gadol. He says something that's marvelous, and we've got to pick up on this. But Elazar and Itamar are not Kohen Gadol, they're Kohen Hedyot. Amar kein lefi she'atan im shachtem tchila, you were just anointed. Hareyatem kekohanim gadolim hayom. What does he mean? So I believe that he's commenting on the following. If you look at source 5, this is near the beginning of Parshat Tzav last week. After the Torah Tamincha, we have this parsha. Ze korban Aharon uvanav asher yakrivu l'Adonai biyom himashachoto. Asirit ha'efah solet mincha tamid, machzita baboker, machzita ba'aret. That every Kohen, on the day that he becomes anointed, which, by the way, regular Kohen doesn't get anointed, so it means on the day he does his first avodah, he brings a mincha. It's one isaron, it's really small, and half of it in the morning, half of it in the evening. One time on the first day. We call this minchat chinuch. That's what it's called. That's the details. And then, the Kohen Gadol, who is anointed in place of the Kohen Gadol, meaning the one who takes over, should do it. It's forever. Kalil Toktar, because it's not Kohen, it's burned up. Meaning, Kohen Gadol brings this every day. This is called Minchat Chavitin. This is the Korban of the Kohen Gadol every single day while he's Kohen Gadol. Shabbat, Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, Purim, Cheney, Purim, Cotton, you name it. Pesach Sheni, every day. All right? A mincha. Notice what happens. When a Kohen goes in to do the first Avodah of his life, he brings the same Korban that a Kohen Gadol brings every day. And so the Bechor Shor picks up from this, I believe, and says, you see that a Kohen, on the day that he does his first Avodah, is Kohen Gadol for the day. And I believe the reason for that is twofold. First of all, he may be the next Kohen Gadol. Likely not because of the numbers, but he may be the next Kohen Gadol. But more critically, he gets to have one day where he envisions what it's like to be closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and keep that memory and that vision as guiding him through the rest of his life of Avodat Hashem. Now, take a look at the Bechor Shor here says that therefore Elazar and Tamar on this day have the same demands because today is the day that they were anointed, that they were brought into the Kuna. Therefore, they have to have the same practice as a Kohen Gadol. Now, one other piece to the puzzle. And that is this parsha in the middle of Parshat Shtuyei Yayin, Pasuk Chet 3 at Aleph. There is a well-known approach. It's in the Sifra, among the different approaches. It's quoted by some Rishonim. They're trying to figure out what it is that Nadav and Avihu did wrong. We don't know what Nadav and Avihu did wrong. Did Nadav and Avihu come in drunk? Did Nadav and Avihu mor halacha b'fei Moshe Rabban? Did Nadav and Avihu take Esh min ha'idyot, should have been Esh min ha'shamayim, Esh gavoa? We don't know what they did. The theory that they came in drunk is supported by this passage, which is in the middle of the story, after they have been, sorry for saying, disposed of, and before Moshe commands Aaron, Elazar, and Tamar about their commitment to continuing the Avodah, we have this interjection, which is the prohibition of Yain v'Shechar. People think, aha, Nadav and Avihu must have gotten drunk. I don't think there's any indication of that. In fact, I think we could actually, as I said at the beginning, put that one to rest. Because if we read Bikrovai Kadesh as not a statement about Nadav and Avihu, but rather a statement about Aharon, Elazar, and Tamar, you're going to sanctify me by your rising above this tragedy and continuing the Avodah, then this command is part of that image. But it also expands, critically, the role of the Kohen and the reason for this tremendous demand on the Kohen and this huge, humongous demand on the Kohen Gadol as far as his ability to restrain and overcome his natural and understandable emotional reaction to such a tragedy. You take a look at how the Nevi'im describe, take a look here at the Bechor Shor on Yain V'Shechar. He says, Afal gav shenotnim yain v'shechar l'shar avilim. He says, why is this command here? So Yain v'shechar is not there to say, don't make the same mistake Nadav and Avihu did and get drunk. He said, because yain and shechar are things that we give to other avilim. We have a pasuk. Tnu shechar l'oved v'yayin l'mari nefesh. Pasuk in Mishlei. Right? We have the 10 kosot of yain at the Beit Avel. Atal vanecha al teish. Nonetheless, you and your sons don't drink. Ki atem asurim bo be'et poachem alo amoed. In other words, this parsha of Shtuye Yayin is there to respond to Aharon and become part of the command for him to rise above his avelut. Even though as an avel, you would want to have some wine. And that's what we advise. For you, you don't have it because you don't get to be an avel. Let everybody else be an avel. And so that's how the Bechor Shor explains what that parsha is doing there. Okay. Now, you take a look at the description of the Kohen in the Nevi'im. In Malachi, beautiful passage. We read it as the Haftarah, Parshat Toldot. Vidatem ki shilachti alechem eta mitzvah zot liot briti et Levi. Levi in Malachi is the Kohanim. Kohanim alvim. Amar Adonai Tzvaot. What's the brit? Briti aita ito achayim v'ashalom. This is, by the way, at the end of the very long rebuke of Malachi, rebuking the Kohanim and the way that they're treating the Mikdash and the Korbanot. Ve'etneim lo morav v'yiraeni. Imnei shmi nichatu. The Kohen, ideal Kohen, fears me and is subjugated to me. Torat emet haita v'fihu. He has Torat emet in his mouth. He never has a lie on his lips. He walks in peace and straight with me. And he returns many people from sin, meaning he is an inspirational model leader. He's a model of truth and of proper fear of God. And he brings everybody, he inspires other people to return to Hashem. Ki siftei kohen yishmeru da'at. It's the lips of the kohen that keep da'at. The Torah yivakshu mipiyu. And people request Torah from him. Torah instruction. What you're not allowed to do when you're drunk, by the way. Ki malach adonai tzva'otu. The famous Gemara in Chagiga. If your Rebbe's like a malach, then learn from him, etc. But remember that this job of the kohanim, which Malachi is zeroing in on the group that are really kohanim in the Mikdash, in Yerushalayim, in about the year 485 or so, who are not behaving the way they're supposed to, is in what is probably a contemporary passage from the very end of Yeshayahu, V'atem Kohanei Adonai Tikaru. In the future, all of Am Yisrael is going to be called Kohanei Hashem. That's going to be our position. Mishartei Eloheinu. We are the ones who serve our God, meaning all of Am Yisrael is going to be the Kohanim, which means all of Am Yisrael will be people worthy of teaching the rest of the world. And people the rest of the world are going to want to come and learn from. Because we're going to be models, all of us, of Yirat Hashem in the proper way. Which, by the way, takes us all the way back to our Sinai, because what's our destiny? Atem tuli, mamlachat kohanim, v'goy kadosh. When we look back at this story of Nadav and Avihu, we think it's a story about Nadav and Avihu. It's not. It's a story about our own. And it's a story about Alazani Tamar. It's a story about the survivors, not about those who died. It's a story about how to respond when you are faced with the horrific challenge of your job as a leader in the community or your focus on the welfare of the community against a personal tragedy. And Moshe comes to Aaron at this critical moment and says to him, Hashem said, Bikorvai Kadesh, I will be sanctified, this Mikdash will be sanctified by those who are closest to me, which is you and your two surviving sons, and by maintaining the line, continuing with the Avodah, being loyal to the command, you will then be able to sanctify the place. And indeed, Vayidom Aharon. Vayidom Aharon are perhaps the most heroic phrase in Tanakh. But not heroic in that Aharon is comforted by Moshe's words, but Aharon is charged by Moshe's words to rise above it. And that's why afterwards Moshe gets angry with Aharon, because Aharon seems to be practicing Avelut anyways by not eating the Korban. And Aharon then comes back with an argument saying, by the way, bottom line, I am an Onen. I am a mourner today. So even though I do all the Avodah and I do everything properly, but an Onen is not allowed to eat Kodshim. And Moshe, by the way, ends up accepting what he says. And what's beautiful about this whole story is it ends with those words, Vayishma Moshe, Vayitav Be'inav. So what we've seen over the course of the last half hour or so, we took a look at this tragic story of the death of Nadav and Avihu and saw the traditional approach to be Krovai Kadesh, which is Moshe's words which may be just a transmission of what Hashem said to him, or perhaps even puffed up with a little bit of comfort of saying, you know, I thought that I was greater, or you were greater. Turns out they're greater than we are. And Bikurai Kadesh is then a reflection on what has just happened. And Moshe and Aaron is silent because he's comforted. And then we saw the Bechor Shor's take on it, the Rashbam and the Bechor Shor's take on it, which is Bikurai Kadesh is not words of comfort. They're a charge to Aaron. Now is your moment to rise above it. Now is your moment to become part of the sanctification by demonstrating your allegiance to the Avodah and your commitment to Kedushat Hashem. And Aaron then is quiet, not because he's comforted, but even greater. He's quiet because he chooses to quiet his personal pain on behalf of the greater Kiddush Hashem that happens. So a different take on understanding both, not really Nadav and Aviu, but understanding Elazar, Itamar, and Aharon, and this particularly painful but very empowering passage, and also to understand in a greater sense the role of the Kohanim in both in the Mishkan itself and dedication of Mishkan, but also in a larger sense, the role of the Kohanim in the context of their role among Am Yisrael and their role as role models of what we should be towards the entire world.